It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's time now to welcome in our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak, whose latest book is Game Over, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, and the Culture of Silence. He has a video blog you can check out called Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We're talking about steroids today. It's been a hot topic in the world of sports, particularly in baseball, with Major League Baseball suspending 13 players for at least 50 games. In fact, 12 of the 13 were suspended for a total of 50 games, and they all accepted their suspensions. The 13th man to be suspended, who ironically enough wears number 13 for the New York Yankees, Alex Rodriguez, has been suspended for a whopping total of 211 games, which would wipe out not only the rest of this season, but all of the 2014 season, except for the fact that he is appealing and playing for the Yankees. How is this possible? How can Alex Rodriguez be allowed to fight this?
Well, he's represented by a union, and you know, the charges have been filed. There's a due process going on now. So as he appeals, he's still allowed to play, which would really delay his sentence once it's enforced. Steroids, Paul, is a hot topic. It seems it's so topical and current. And yet steroids have been around the American sports scene since 1959.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of the history of it. But with regard to this latest scandal, there were no failed drug tests per se here. Something else happened that got these players in trouble.
Yeah, there was some journalism done by the Miami New Times, an alternative newspaper, that looked into the records of a biogenesis clinic, an anti-aging clinic. And isn't it ironic? Ponce de Leon was a couple of centuries ahead of his time. If he'd have just waited for biogenesis, he would have found the Fountain of Youth in Florida.
Well, what does this stuff do?
The Greek word hormone means to excite or arouse. Steroids, anabolic steroids, what we think of as steroids, is artificial testosterone. Human growth hormone builds muscle and mass. You'd almost have to be an endocrinologist to understand that these things are produced by the body, and if you take them in artificial form, you're getting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times the doses. So it increases muscle mass, makes you stronger, and actually allows you to perform better if under the care of a physician you don't abuse them.
So all of these players, including the MVP of a couple of seasons ago, Ryan Braun, were caught being involved with this clinic, Biogenesis.
Correct. Like you said, they didn't fail a drug test. The test didn't trip them up. There were the records kept at the clinic, and an investigation that really leaned heavily on purchasing and distribution of these things. Now, you know, to be fair, if I went to Biogenesis and obtained some of this material, it would be a legitimate medical use for anti-aging. But for a elite professional athlete, it crosses the line into cheating.
And so why did almost all of these athletes, with the exception of A-Rod, accept their suspensions?
I think to get it over with, if you look at the parameters here, if you're Johnny Peralta, the shortstop of the Detroit Tigers.
One of those found guilty.
Correct. If you take your 50 games now, he'll be ready for the playoffs and possibly the World Series. So to get it out of the way and to clear the way for their return, which begs the question, is this penalty severe enough? Should these players be actually paying a stiffer penalty that would disallow them to continue playing?
It's certainly severe enough in Alex Rodriguez's case that he is fighting this suspension. If the players' union is serious about cleaning up the game, then why are they helping him fight this?
That's always been a tough position for the union, because they've been fighting the intrusion of drug tests and testing in their athletes. it has to be negotiated into the agreement and their collective bargaining agreement. So, I mean, they're performing a job that a union should do. They're standing up for the rights of an employee, in this case, Alex Rodriguez. Now, I will say, Paul, that the number one side effect of steroids is lying and denial. I think A-Rod might have a few financial incentives actually to keep playing. If he hits 12 more home runs to tie Willie Mays, he gets a $6 million bonus, which is extremely possible in the next 6 weeks of the season.
When will they rule on his suspension?
It might be a while.
On his appeal.
Yeah, it's been appealed to an arbiter, and he'll take a look at the case, and it could come within weeks. It could come within months.
And when people say, why hasn't baseball done more? For example, going back to the 1998 season, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa setting records for home runs hit in a season, and they, as it turned out, were using banned substances. And so baseball was accused of looking the other way. But with the union fighting drug testing until after that season, what could baseball have done?
Well, let's be frank. Baseball could have cleaned this up a long time ago. Baseball, if it would have taken preventive action at the start, recognized the problem, and not gone into denial, it brought this scandal onto itself. Basically, I think the baseball authorities were so enamored of the home run chase that was brought back fans from the catastrophe of the 1994 strike, and fans are returning to the ballpark. That's all they cared about, and didn't care about how these players were achieving these fantastic feats. Sammy Sosa saying that he was on Flintstone vitamins, and you know how cruel that sounds.
Joking about it.
Yes.
And so is baseball doing all it can now?
You hear the commissioner say that he's introduced the toughest drug test in all of sports, and it's true. But they are also the last major sport to implement these tests. So I think you heard at the All-Star break that Commissioner Selig said baseball's as clean as it's ever been, the cleanest it's ever been, which can be interpreted a couple of different ways. All it can continue to do is be diligent and test and track and really encourage the rest of the players. And there does seem to be a groundswell out there that people who don't want to cheat and are tired of this and tired of the black eye and the smear.
And a couple of Pirates have gone on record.
Yes.
As saying the second baseman Neil Walker, as well as pitcher Mark Melancon, have both said they've come out and said they applaud these suspensions. They want to see the game get cleaned up. Interestingly enough, we have not heard any Pirates' names mentioned in any of these recent scandals. Is it safe to assume that the Pirates are a clean team?
I wouldn't assume anything. And, you know, it sounds very cruel because you don't want to tar everybody with the same brush and to, you know, indict the innocent along with the guilty. It's just that it raises so many questions. If you go back to just a couple of years ago when baseball issued the Mitchell report that really uncovered the scope of steroid use in baseball, there were some Pirates mentioned. Kevin Young was one of them. No team is clean. No sport is clean. Now, what is real and what isn't, I think, is up to the individual fan. But I've turned into a real skeptic on this. I just don't. If I don't know, I can't assume that somebody is clean and somebody isn't.
We're talking with our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak, about steroids and steroid use. And you wrote a series documenting a number of aspects of these steroid scandals. And you mentioned that this usage of steroids in sports goes all the way back to the 50s.
Yeah, in the United States, it goes back further. It's, you know, steroids were invented in Germany in the 30s. And, you know, remember who was chancellor then and where Germany was headed. The Russians took the German technology and refined it. and were using it in their Olympic athletes in the 50s. Then the Americans took the Russian approach and absolutely, perfected it. First steroid use in the United States was by a weightlifter in 1959 at the York Barbell Club, and he got the steroid Diana ball from the team doctor of the U.S. Olympic weightlifting team.
And then it showed up in the NFL.
Yes. Well, once the word got out, you're not going to keep this stuff secret. Diana ball steroids were on the training table of the San Diego Chargers in 1963, and it was mandatory for the players to take these little blue pills after every meal because they were told it would help them get stronger and assimilate protein. So it was on the training table. The Chargers won the AFL championship in 1963. Then it spread to the Kansas City Chiefs, who won a Super Bowl, to the Dallas Cowboys, who won a Super Bowl. By the mid-60s, steroids were rampant in the NFL
and
the Olympics.
Right, and we have an Olympics coming up next winter in Sochi, Russia. So are we ever going to see them go away?
No, it's here to stay. But the problem is it's such a veil that you don't understand what's real and what's not. You see the results first, then you find out later that Lance Armstrong was on it and so many of the track stars. And after all these years of denial...
You mentioned Lance Armstrong. There was an interesting quote from Jan Ullrich of Germany who said that Lance Armstrong should not have his titles taken away. They should all be restored to him because while he may have been on steroids, everybody else was on steroids, including me, meaning Jan Ullrich. So what about that?
Well, yeah, if everybody's on it, why shouldn't I do it? I think that's the easy way out. Richard Nixon should be reinstated as a president if all politicians are crooks.
Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His latest book is Game Over, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, and the Culture of Silence. Bob, as always, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. To hear any portion of the program you might have missed, podcasts of our program, or anything from our archives, you can go to our website, wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.